This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning. Welcome to our program. We're thankful that you've tuned us in, and we trust that this program will be a help and a blessing to you. Now, again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll be giving you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. Remember, you can re-listen to this program on my website, and the website has a weekly meditation that you might find helpful, as well as a wealth of other information. So if you'd like the website or my mailing address, just get a pencil and a piece of paper out and you can write it down at the close of the program. Now, we've been going through scriptures that are important to me and that guide my life, and we've been going through them with the idea that you might be a young person in Christ who doesn't quite know where to start studying and reading your Bible. And while we would always recommend that you do read the Bible on your own, that you do pray to the Lord, and in praying to the Lord, that you thank Him for His Son, and that you do associate with other Christians who are like-minded about the way of salvation, while we do encourage that, there has to be a starting point and some guidance as to just what the scriptures do say this new life that we have in Christ is all about. Now, we do remember that one of the things that we've emphasized on this program is John chapter 3. You must be born again. And we noted last time that 1 Peter also deals with that, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we understand that when we trust Christ, we become children in a family with a new life and with a new relationship, which gives us new responsibilities. Now, we never want to imply that the new responsibilities save us, but the new responsibilities are things that a person who has this new life and new relationship should want to understand. They should want that guidance. We've often said that getting saved is much like getting married. The way we live after we say I do is not what makes us married, but it does give you a happy marriage. And hopefully the way you live after you're married is not burdensome, but if you love the person that you have married, the way you live after you're married will be devotional. And instead of your partner having to constantly remind you of the things that pleases him, you'll be out seeking for the things that please him or her, and will, out of devotion, do your best to meet those needs and to try to be a good cooperative partner in life. Now, it's the same way in our relationship with God. We're told that when we're saved, we become a new creature in Christ. And so we need to understand, as a new person, as a new creature in Christ, just what is it that we can do to please the Lord? Now, we have emphasized that there are some scriptures that have been helpful to me over the years, and we've already spent some time on the inspiration of scripture and how that while it seems somewhat simplistic to the Christian, the Bible is what the Constitution should be to a lawyer. And so it's our guide. The Lord has written it down for us, and we're just thankful that we can go back to it on our own and have a personal understanding of what God has said. Now, when we are newly saved, it's often well to go back over the scriptures that reassure us of that, because as we've emphasized, Satan will come along and will say, are you sure that's true? Because that's Satan's tactic. From Genesis chapter 3 on, he has constantly questioned or tried to get people to question the truth of scripture. Yea, hath God said, is perhaps the biggest arsenal in Satan's, among Satan's tools that he uses to destroy our testimonies. He can't destroy us, but he can destroy our confidence, our hope, our joy, and our testimonies. And he destroys our fellowship with the Lord. And so when Satan comes along and says, yea, hath God said, either because somebody who's a friend who seems more knowledgeable about the Bible than you do says that what you believe isn't true, or because perhaps you commit a sin that you didn't think you would ever commit after you were saved, when Satan comes along and says, aha, this isn't true, or you think you're a Christian, we need to be able to go back to the simple scriptures that tell us that we are saved and that it's based on what Christ has done. And so we have mentioned, know and memorize John 3:16. Know and memorize John 3:36. Know and memorize John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Know those verses. Know the verses in Isaiah 53, verses 5, which says, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And thank God he has done that. He has laid on the Lord the iniquity of us all. And Satan can't take that away from us. That is a promise from the Old Testament that was fulfilled in the New. And so in Romans 5, and verse 6, we read, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so if Satan begins to work on your mind, you need to know some of these scriptures, not only for your own sake, but because others are going to be asking you about your confidence in the Lord. And the simple scriptures that have spoken to you are the scriptures that you can use to share with others and show them that God is a gracious God, a merciful God, and he does desire to save, and he's done the work that saves. And when we trust in Christ, we are saved. We have pointed out that the scriptures produce faith, assurance, and new life. And in preaching the gospel, and you should have this same confidence as you share with others, remember to, if at all possible, take people back and let them read with you verses of scripture. When people ask questions, to the extent you can, say, let's see what God says about that, because again, Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so giving people the scriptures gives them something to have faith in. And faith is not just a generalized hope. It's nice when we have that too. But the faith that saves is confidence in the promises of scripture. You have to have something to put your faith in. And when you put your faith in the promises of scripture, you are putting your faith in the one who made the promises. And our faith should be such that we have full assurance of salvation. And so we have read from 1 John 5:13, these things I have written to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. God wants us to have full fellowship with him, and as we have full fellowship with him, he wants us to have full confidence that we are saved. And so these are scriptures that we've touched on already. We're reviewing them now. But the scriptures that guide our new life are also important. And one of the most important is found in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Now this is found in the Sermon on the Mount. And it reads like this: but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And so the Lord is saying, put the Lord first, and don't worry about what's going to happen in the future. Now, this is a very difficult thing for me to do, and yet this is a guide that I've tried to use in my life. My wife and I over the years have made some very difficult decisions that from a financial standpoint and even from the standpoint of the effect on our families would have seemed to have been the wrong decisions, but they turned out to be the right decisions. I've had to walk away from jobs. I've had to walk away from churches in order to put the Lord first and in order to have a good conscience before God. And as you know, this program is paid for by Christians who support this work, but I have never asked anyone for any help in my ministry. I do not preach for profit. I do not merchandise the gospel. I know people that do, and the Lord uses them, but I have had a conscience about that, and I have committed myself to the Lord, and I, like others in days gone by, George Mueller and others, I have taken the attitude that the God who called me to his service is the God who can provide for my service. And so over the years, when I preach the gospel, I never take a collection from those that I'm preaching to. As a matter of fact, it's really wrong to do that, because as you preach the gospel, the unsaved really should not be supporting that. They should not be so-called, in a way, buying their way into heaven. But the Lord, over the years, has found people that are in fellowship with my work who can come alongside and partner with me in it. He's found churches that do that, and we have been able to put the Lord first and to put his principles first. And even when we've made choices that have seemed wrong from a natural standpoint, they have worked out from a spiritual standpoint. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I really don't think a person ever comes to faith in Christ until the issue of salvation becomes of primary importance in their life, until they seek the Lord with all their heart. Some people seem to think, well, I just have kind of walked through the door. I don't even remember when, but it's all right. I have this faith in God. But the Bible talks about seeking the Lord and finding out we're sinners and repenting with regard to where we've disagreed with God, whether it be on an issue of sin or on an issue of biblical truth. We've got to change our minds and agree with God, and we have to seek him first. And it's when we seek him first and really want what God has offered that God opens up our understanding through the scripture so that we can trust in the truth, that it's a simple thing that we need to do in order to be saved. We need to simply trust in the Lord Jesus. And then as we go along, we tend to take things back into our own hands, and we tend to want to do things our own way. And the Lord says, no, seek ye first the kingdom of God and trust me. I'll take care of tomorrow. Boy, that's difficult for me, letting the Lord take care of tomorrow. I'm an accountant. I learned how to budget and to plan ahead. But this is what the Lord has asked us to do. And this is what should guide our lives, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And can you, if you're saved today, can you honestly say that you put the Lord first in your life? Where are you going to be spending your time and your thoughts and all of your energy and your money? Where are you going to be doing that? Or are you going to be giving some consideration to the fact that while this is difficult, this is where true blessing is found? And so this is one of the scriptures that I hope will be a help to you. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened, and we thank thee for thy love and salvation. We commit ourselves into your care in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.